Isn't it that time? It's like the middle of winter now, where seasonal depression sort of kicks in, just generally bad vibes with no sun, a lot of coldness. You've got exams or end of financial year, things are going, I don't know, a lot of work to be done. It's just not a super happy time in general for a lot of people. And there's a whole industry that's dedicated to fixing that. And I'm actually joined now and joining you, Declan Edwards from BU Coaching, whose job it is to basically help cultivate your confidence, make you a more happy person just through like coaching and his, one-on-one sort of techniques. And I'm pretty interested to find out a little bit more. Maybe this is stuff you can take away in the middle of winter. Maybe you're a skeptic. I don't know. Declan, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me in. Really excited for this.
Man, yeah. A lot of questions. I did say before, and I was saying it to you as well. Like I found that this stuff, I'm always a bit skeptical because we see it on Instagram all the time. You know, happiness is a choice, guys. Even though I was born into a wealthy family and everything was handed to me, happiness is a choice. And people just follow that like it's just gospel, right? So for you, what actually is happiness?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it's one that I'm still actually defining for myself, because I think as soon as we put a concrete definition on happiness, we really limit ourselves to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's always changing, and as we grow and develop as individuals, we sort of shape that. But what I do know about happiness is it comes from within. Like, it's obviously a feeling, right? Like, you can't hold happiness. You can't trip over some happiness that someone left on the street. It's got to come from inside, and people tend to intuitively know when they are feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be, you know, there's two big different types of happiness. There's hedonic happiness, which is the, I ate a chocolate bar and now I feel great.
Yeah.
and then there's this more eudaimonic happiness, they call it, which is where you have a sense of purpose and meaning.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not as that sharp spike of excitement happiness, but it's more lasting.
Are they equal, do you reckon? Like the chocolate bar happiness and the sort of internal type?
I think we need both.
Right.
Yeah, so I think the eudaimonic happiness, or that purpose and meaning, it lasts, obviously. A great example of this, for example, Daniel Gilbert, who's a great psychologist, said that what your mum told you would make you happy doesn't. He does a great talk and says it's actually been proven that having children, which everyone thinks is going to make you happy, actually decreases your lifelong happiness. So for anyone listening who has kids, I'm going to give you good news now. Because I know you're sitting there going, oh no, what did he just say?
This is a huge bomb that you've just dropped.
So it drops your hedonic happiness, that rush happiness.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
But your eudaimonic, that purpose and meaning, is cultivated, so it outweighs, you know, it balances it back out.
Yeah, okay. So you're making a sacrifice to increase the other one. And then in the meantime, you can still buy like stuff that you want to get that other happiness bumped up a little bit.
Exactly, and still do things that give you that sense of achievement and accomplishment, for example, are a great way to get that boost. So setting a goal that you actually achieve feels great.
Okay, so there are definitely ways there to, you know, target the types of happiness you want to achieve. And so obviously you've studied this a lot. I guess an interesting sort of thing to note is that you're not like a psychologist, you're like a happiness coach. What is it about being a happiness coach? Because I would say, correct me if I'm wrong, that maybe to the majority of the public, psychologist sounds more legit. Mm-hmm. And it's probably sounds more like if you met a potential partner's parents and you said, I'm a psychologist, be like, ooh, and then a happiness coach is more, kind of like a bit more intrigued. So what's made you go with the happiness coach line?
Yeah. So I don't think even it's just with the potential partner's parents. I think it was with my parents as well.
Right.
Yeah, you're spot on, where we see this, you know, psychologist takes a lot more of a weight and a significance to it. But I think we're talking obviously just before going live and going on air about how for so long coaching and psychology has almost been at war with each other. You know, coaches have these great strengths of being very progressive, very forward thinking, very fluid. Obviously, the massive downside there is it's an unregulated industry. Anyone can say they're a coach tomorrow, and that's why we see the rise of the insta-coach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem in and of itself. And then on the flip side, we have traditional psychology. Amazing, evidence-backed, academic, incredible. Traditionally, pretty hopeless at conveying it in a way that people engage with. You know, as it is the curse of academia. How do you actually put it out in a way that people engage with it? But also, to get a psychology degree, you know, it takes 4 years. And a lot of the topics that are in and the content that's in that degree is based on research from 10, 15, 20 years ago. What we know about ourselves and about the human brain and about emotional intelligence and thriving and fulfillment and what makes us happy is actually updated every 4 or 5 years. Like, the half-life of it is what we thought we knew about happiness is proven wrong, or there's a better way found every 4 years. So I think for me, choosing the coach thing was about, well, how do we blend the two together? How do we find the happy middle ground?
Mm.
Which is why I still do study positive psychology and blend that in with some of these other coaching techniques like NLP. If anyone's heard of Tony Robbins, it's his biggest practice.
Oh,
NLP.
Yeah. Man.
The big man from, he was in Shallow Hal. Whenever someone doesn't know who he is, I go, you know the big guy in Shallow Hal
yeah.
who gives him the life advice in the elevator? Yeah, that's him.
Right. Yeah, and he's obviously an example of a super famous coach, but there's so many floating around. You know, you look anywhere on Instagram, and I said before, there was a girl I know who suddenly said that she was a wellness coach overnight. Mm-hmm. And I know that she's got a lot of, like, a lot of life to still live probably before she could probably say she was like 18 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Have you met some really pretty bad examples of people that tell themselves, like, you guys meet and you're both like, oh, I'm a coach too. And then you sort of, oh, actually, like, has it, you've seen some dangerous examples maybe?
Yeah, I have. And I sort of, you know, the first few times I started bumping into other coaches who were saying they're coaches but didn't have any study background, had never been coached themselves. You know, we have a saying at BU, which I'm not sure if I can actually say this on air, but eat the that you sell.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Eat the shush that you sell, right?
Excrement.
And the reason we say that is because if we believe coaching is good for other people, we should be getting coached ourselves.
Right.
Right? So when I meet coaches who have never been coached and they've never gone and done some form of training, yeah, at first I was a little bit judgmental of that, and I sort of had to have a chuckle and remind myself that that's actually how I started as well. You know, when I first got into this industry, I was definitely still calling myself a coach, but was just starting my training. So, you know, I think everyone has their own starting place. It's more about, are they willing to grow and develop their skills as a professional?
Do you think that we all deserve happiness? Like, I feel like there was definitely the generational thing where my generation has grown up, and definitely the generation maybe below me has grown up thinking, you know what, you deserve this. You deserve happiness. You deserve the best. You deserve to be whatever, all this different stuff. But I feel like maybe my parents didn't grow up being told that kind of stuff. Do you think that's true, that we all deserve happiness?
I think we have a right as human beings and as individuals to pursue it. Whether or not we deserve it, I don't believe it should be given to us. You know, I was talking to someone about this the other day. You're right, with this almost an entitled generation that wants everything harder, faster, stronger, and quicker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're the iPhone generation of, if we want an answer, it's in our pocket. The downside and the danger of that is it's creating this psychology and this mindset of, what does the world owe me? And I'm pretty upfront and honest with people. I say that the world doesn't owe you anything. And one of the best things we can do within ourselves is to start thinking, well, what do I owe the world? Because if you look at this scientifically, if you look at this statistically, the likelihood of you being born, of you being you, right? They had researchers get together and actually study the maths behind this. What was the likelihood you were the, you know, first sperm to the egg? You're the Usain Bolt of all sperms. Congratulations, you're a winner, right? What was the likelihood of your parents meeting and them having, you know, getting together? They go back through all of this and they find that the likelihood of you being you, of you being born, of you being here, is 1 × 10 in the power of every known atom in the universe.
Right.
Or to put that in a way that's a lot easier to digest, it's the likelihood of everyone in San Francisco, so a city, millions of people, getting together on the weekend, and they each roll a 1 trillion-sided dice, and everyone gets the same number.
Wow.
Like, you are an unrepeatable miracle of the universe. And it sounds cheesy to say that, but when we realize that statistically we are an unrepeatable miracle, it takes us from going, well, hang on, I've already been given everything that I could get by being here. What can I give back?
Right. Man, it sounds pretty profound, I got to say. That's, yeah, definitely something to think about. I think before I let you go, you know, I guess in 30 seconds, people that are in need of maybe a confidence boost, or people that are thinking, feeling a little bit unfulfilled, what would you say to those people?
So the first thing I'd say is to check out a thing called the PERMA model in positive psychology. It stands for positive emotions. So do things that make you feel good. That was the chocolate bar example we gave before, you know, that hedonic happiness. Do things that make you feel good. It's obvious, right? Engagement and flow. So do things where you lose sense of yourself, you lose sense of time, whether that's art or music or sport, whatever it is. But when you lose sense of time, that's really good for your sense of fulfillment and well-being. R is relationships. So obviously have great relationships around you, have great people, have a great support network. M is meaning and purpose. Cultivate that sense of meaning and purpose in life. Like, as I said, you're an unrepeatable miracle. You're here for a reason. It's up to you to find that and cultivate it. And then A is accomplishment and achievement. So set goals for yourself, push yourself, grow outside of your comfort zone, set challenges, and then rise to the occasion. When you do all five of those things, it has been scientifically proven now that that is the recipe for lasting happiness and fulfillment.
Well, there you go. If you need the advice, there it is. Declan Edwards, hey, thank you so much, man. And look, I'm feeling a little less skeptical now about the concept of coaching in general. I think, you know, we might have to have another chat down the line and we'll find out, unlayer a new layer to the no doubt very complex trillion-sided dice that is, you know, being happy.
Definitely, mate. And thank you so much for having the giving me the opportunity to come in and share this. And I'm glad that it did dispel some of the skepticism, because this is information everyone needs.
If you want to check out a bit more, BU Coaching is Declan's little project. Not even little. It's expanding.